Hello, welcome to the Self-Learning Podcast by Dr. Sushma Singh. Let us start discussion on Unit 19, Micro-Level Plans, Formulation and Implementation, and our topic is Constraints in Micro-Level Planning. The first one is Institutional Constraints. Planning from above has the following advantages. It is expeditious. Technical personnel, for example, the district block and lower level officials of various departments are generally available. There is no problem of adjustment of district and lower level plans with the state plan. Implementation of the plans is virtually assured. Planning from below can be a time-consuming and difficult process. Plans should keep in view the availability, the general guidelines of their departments in respect of availability of funds and manpower and achievement of targets, etc. Finally, the village or multi-level plans have to be adjusted and modified before they can be included in the plan for CD, block or taluka or mandal. The next one is information constraints. At the local level, situation can be described as one of information crisis, since administration has had a top-down orientation through centuries. Data is accordingly oriented in that there is ready data for macro level planning. For example, national accounts covering national income, savings and investments, foreign trade and the monetary system, etc. and successively merger at the subordinate stages. Relevant data for the local level planning is either inadequate or irrelevant to plan requirements. Since the orientation of development planning at the local level is spatial, data is required for socio-economic analysis spatially, in specific terms, not in terms of aggregates. There is under-information with regard to demographic data. Vital socio-economic indicators like for local manpower and employment planning, primary data relating to income, consumption, employment, health, housing, nutrition or nutrition behavior. As per the official document of the Ministry of Science and Technology, the development of database technology, entry of computers in India in the late 70s and first Indian remote sensing experiment in 1977 triggered the possibility of introduction and integration of geospatial information in the planning. The Government of India initiated a number of technology-based programs to support the local level planning in 1980s. For example, Natural Resource Data Management System of the Department of Science and Technology, National Natural Resource Management System of the Department of Space and Geographical Information System, and District Information System of the National Informatics Center, Ministry of Communication and Information Technology. However, there is a need for integrated approach in data collection, which brings out inter-sector impacts in policy suggestions. Both quantitative and qualitative data is required regarding socio-economic indices like cultural preferences with regard to nutrition, employment, indigenous construction practices, cultural mores, figures for unemployment, poverty across the spatial extents, nature of poverty, specific requirements in particular areas to ameliorate the situation, etc., which are presently lacking. Often there is a surfeit of data, but is irrelevant, as is unrelated to the program requirements. Ad hoc studies are conducted from time to time for the purpose, but there is no systematized mode of transfer of such information to planning agencies for plan purpose on a consistent basis. Accordingly, there is a need for corresponding information processing agencies alongside planning agencies at each level to perform the vital task of research information collation, processing and communication to relevant decision-making centers. Immense potential of the information communication revolution could be tapped or the purpose. Now let us discuss the people's participation. The Constitution, 74th Amendment Act 1992, provides for a democratic and participatory planning process to incorporate the need of the people, particularly the poor and socially disadvantaged, in development policy. The Act stipulates the setting up of District Planning Committee and Metropolitan Planning Committee for the integration of spatial and economic development and rural and urban planning. This is in recognition of the need for integrated regional planning with due attention to the regional and local infrastructure, environmental conservation and investment planning, and their spatial and other impacts, accounting for externalities. The most vital component of the micro-level planning is interest articulation on part of the people, possibly through a forum organized particularly for the purpose. Cooperative societies are being looked upon as the instrumentality to realize the objectives. People's participation in administration is often criticized as an ideology without a methodology. The successful experiment of the Kundra Kundi village in Tamil Nadu, however, is a fitting reply to such cynicism. A village planning forum, VPS, was organized in the village, comprising of selected peers in the village from all walks of life, such as businessmen, scientists, panchayat, union officials, credit officials from commercial and cooperative banks, educationist, agriculturist, representing various government departments, and was registered under the Cooperative Societies Act of the State of Tamil Nadu. It has successfully energized the local population in articulating interest and participating otherwise actively in political matters directly related to their concerns. It has attempted development planning successfully, which is visible in improved paddy cultivation through adoption of the scientific cultivation practices, improved irrigation through community wells, etc. Most importantly, it has ensured successful implementation of government schemes such as the DPAP, which had suffered due to lapse in identification of beneficiaries for distribution of assets such as milch, cattle, etc. Identification and distribution through the VPF has effectively plunged the loopholes. Waterland cultivation for horticulture and sericulture have been taken up, Active women's collaboration in plan initiatives has been secured. Looking at the advantages such institutionalization of social capital between departments and civil society, that is, non-government organizations and individual village peers in civil society, can be stressed. Such arrangements could be brought within the broad aegis of the panchayat institutions where found necessary or desirable for compliance with legal or institutional stipulations, such as in form of a committee of panchayat. Replication elsewhere or on successively macro scales could be attempted. Now let us wind up the session and thank you very much for engaging yourself with the self-learning podcast.